name's Jessica Ware, and I'm going to be talking to you about some work that I did as part of my dissertation at Rutgers University on flight behavior and wing venational patterns in dragonflies. So dragonfly venation is very heavily relied on in odonate taxonomy, but there have been some people that have suggested that it could be prone to convergence. And it's also possible that some of the vein patterns in dragonfly wings are highly correlated with other veins in the wing and also wing shape. So for example, the venation pattern colored in pink here is called the anal loop, and often dragonflies that have very small anal vein regions have very small anal loops. And dragonflies that have very large anal vein regions have very large anal loops. So it's really hard to determine whether or not you could use these characters for morphological studies when they might just be an artifact of wing shape. Most of my dissertation work has focused on molecular work, and I've been working on a family, or a superfamily called Libellulidia. And one of the families within Libellulidia is called the Libellulidae, and this is a phylogeny here. You can't really see the names, but the important message here is that several of the subfamilies within Libellulidae were based on wing venational patterns. So for example, the Tramiini, which is shown here, they're called the saddlebags. They all have this really expanded anal vein region, and it kind of looks like, I guess, like saddlebags, and that's why they were united based on morphology as a monophyletic group. But the Tramiini are colored in red here, and you can see that they're highly paraphyletic. And as it turns out, wing venation in most of the Libellulid subfamilies has not been shown to be a really good indicator of monophyly. So with this information, my advisor and I decided we wanted to try and figure out some way to have a quantitative evaluation of whether or not these wing venational patterns were prone to convergence. We wanted to determine which of the veins in these dragonfly wings were correlated with each other so that that way we could suggest the veins that we should be avoiding for taxonomic purposes. And we also wanted to identify some veins that might be of interest for future morphometric studies. So the behaviors that we thought might be affecting venational patterns in wings, one of which was the flight behavior. So some dragonflies are perchers, and they spend the majority of their time kind of perching and having repeated takeoff and landings, flying around ponds and other lakes and habitats like that. And then there are other dragonflies that spend the majority of their time on the wing, and this might be affecting flight behavior. We also wondered whether tandem overposition might affect flight behavior and therefore wing venation, because when you're a female and you're carrying around a male with you and you're kind of in this clumsy flight, that really affects your wing loading. Vegetation is something that we thought might be affecting venation patterns, because some dragonflies have to kind of maneuver in and out of grasses and thick vegetation, and that requires the ability to turn in a really small area. Whereas other dragonflies are flying out in the open and they have a really wide turning radius. We also wondered whether territoriality might be affecting venation patterns. And territoriality is really hard to define, especially for dragonflies. And we defined it as patrolling and male-to-male aggression and returning to a finite area. And some dragonflies are very aggressive and they are engaged. They often engage in male-to-male kind of combat. They're not really fighting, but they have these spiraling flights, and their wings often clash, and it can lead to death in many cases. And of course, there also may have been some venational patterns that were indeed linked with phylogenetic history. So what we did was we cut off the wings of 85 dragonflies and scanned them on a flatbed scanner. We measured 30-odd veins in the forewing and 30-odd veins in the hindwing, and then we analyzed them with an analysis of variance to look for significant difference for each of those behavioral categories. And what we found was that there was a significant difference in venation pattern for between perchers and flyers, between dragonflies overposited alone and the overposited in tandem, and between the families of Anisoptera. So the percher-flyer differences that we found were to do with the antenodal length of the wing, which Robin Wooten is somebody that studied flight in dragonflies, and he suggested that shorter antenodal lengths possibly impart some type of stability during flight. And also the hindwing mid-basal cell, which is a small cell again at the base of the wing, which might have something to do with stability. But we were really surprised that there were so few venational differences. The categories of perchers and flyers have been used for a long time in dragonfly work, and if you were to go out to a pond or something and look at something that's considered to be a fly or something that's considered to be a percher, what they're doing in the air is incredibly different, and we just couldn't believe that there were only these two differences in their vanes. So we actually also tried to look at wing loading and aspect ratio, which are two other measurements of wing characteristics for perchers and flyers. Wing loading is the ratio of body mass to wing area, and aspect ratio is kind of a measure of whether your wings are really long and narrow or really kind of short and stubby. And we did see a significant difference. It turns out that flyers do have higher wing loading values, and they also tend to have longer, narrower wings than perchers, which have shorter, stubbier wings. In terms of whether dragonflies oviposit alone or in tandem, again, we didn't see very many, we did see significant differences, but not in very many veins. And the veins that we did see differences in are all kind of in this anal vein region, which is one of the characters that united that subfamily that I talked about earlier, the Tramiini. And it's possible if you were a female and you had to carry a male around in this kind of clumsy flight, you're incredibly vulnerable to predation. And it's possible that you might want to increase your surface area in your wing for gliding capabilities, or again for stability, so that way you'd be less likely to be picked up by a frog or something if you were, you know, flying really low above the water. We did see some venational patterns that indeed are probably going to be good for taxonomic purposes. One of which is the forewing triangle length, and this has been used, if you open a key for North American dragonflies, this is a common one that you see. They suggest that the triangle in Anisoptera gets progressively longer, and then this is a tree of Anisoptera with the Aeshnidae here going towards the more recently derived family Libelluloidea as a subfamily, and this is Libelluloidae here, and they all tend to have really long forewing triangles compared to the other families. And there's a character by Gunter Beckley who did some major phylogenetic work for dragonflies in the mid-90s, and this also has been shown, based on our study, to be probably a good character for taxonomic purposes because there are significant differences between the families of Anisoptera. We also tried to look at all the veins that we measured and to see how much correlation was occurring, and it turns out that many of the veins that were involved in Libellulid subfamily classification are highly correlated with other veins. What does this mean? It means that it's going to be very difficult to try and tease apart which vein, like if, for example, we find veins that are associated with flight behavior for tandem overposition, it's going to be very hard to determine whether or not those veins are shorter or longer just based on the fact that those dragonflies need them to be that way so that they can have good flight during tandem overposition, or whether or not that might be an artifact of other veins that are connected to it that got longer or shorter. And so that's something we need to look more closely at. So the conclusions of our study were that, you know, there are some veins that we probably still should be using for taxonomic work, which was encouraging because, especially with the advent of kind of molecular techniques, a lot of people have been really looking down on venational characters for dragonfly taxonomy. There were definitely differences in venation patterns with respect to overposition behavior and between the two flight types that I talked about, perchers and flyers, and these are probably not going to be appropriate for taxonomic purposes. But, you know, we were really surprised, we were really surprised that there were not as many behavioral differences as we thought. You know, we thought we'd see many more veins, especially between perchers and flyers, that differed significantly. Many of the veins are highly correlated, so we have these results, but we actually can't really, it's really pretty difficult to interpret what they mean. You know, now that we know what the venational differences are between these behavioral types, it's going to be very tricky to kind of tease apart what that actually means in terms of the flight of the dragonfly. So what we're doing for our future work is we're actually going to be doing some measurements and putting stresses on the veins that we have found that are of interest for overposition behavior and between perchers and flyers, and see what actually happens to those veins during flight, and also see what happens to the veins that are correlated with those veins to see whether or not they also experience some type of stress. So with that, we'd like to thank Low Tech, who is a technician of sorts who did all of our scanning, and it was really difficult to come up with behavioral observations, so we really wanted to give a shout out to those of us who helped us try and define these categories. So thank you, and if there's any questions, I think I have a minute or two. That's definitely a good idea. And I know it has been done by some other people. They've looked at wing beat frequency. And hopefully maybe now that we have this kind of big behavioral data set, which, you know, really was surprising considering dragonflies are really well studied. There isn't really a main data set of behavioral characters. So maybe now that we have that, we can apply that to some of the data that we already have about wing beat frequency and see what we can come up with. It's a good suggestion.
Any parallels with perhaps wing changes by phylogeny and zygotes?
Yeah, there definitely has been a lot of work done on that. And I know that, for example, there's a paper by Combs and Daniel that showed, looking mostly at Zygopteran taxa, that there wasn't any differences between behavioral types and venation patterns. And they actually said that venation patterns probably don't have any type of structural implications for flight. And we weren't sure whether maybe we were going to come up with the same thing, but we figured since we had a larger taxon sample, maybe we might be able to tease apart some of the finer details. But, you know, we kind of get a similar thing. They didn't really find any differences, and we only find one or two. So, you know, that's probably telling us something. You know, for anisops and zygops, maybe there's something happening. The venational patterns are real, and there's a reason behind it, but maybe our human brains haven't figured out the things to test for why that is. Okay, thanks.